Bibles with me this morning. I'm going to be reading from Matthew, the seventh chapter, and I'm going to be reading at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is verses 24 through I'm going to just go ahead through 29, 24 through 29 this morning. I'll read those scriptures. As a way of introduction, as I thought about this message and thought about the need to stand on the promises of the Lord and to know that He's our solid rock, and no matter what we face and no matter what we go through in life, that He's there. We can trust in Him and depend upon Him, and He secures us in every way of life. And one of those ways is He secures us in the way of salvation, doesn't He? He says that no one can ever pluck us out of His hand, and that there's not anything in this world or the world to come that can ever separate us from His love. It's a blessing and a joy and a peace and a comfort to know that you stand firm in the arms and the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you know that today, that no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through, that He's always there to hold you up and to hold you in His hands and to comfort you and to give you His strength. This morning, as I think about the rock, I was thinking about the Prudential Insurance Company. Some of you, a little older like myself, can remember the old commercials of the Prudential. It's not so much like the Geico commercial today, which is kind of funny to watch the little Geico, you know, make his little spiel for Geico commercials, and or the Allstate, which is one of Becky's one, is Jake. What's this? Jake what? Yeah, Jake with State Farm. Yeah, Jake with State Farm. My son-in-law, my oldest son-in-law, brought her a cup, and he calls her every now and then and says, "This is Jake from State Farm." And so, but it's all kind of commercials, you know, with the Mayhem guy and all those guys, you know, really make it funny and try to get you to remember their insurance, right, and their little slogans. Well, way before that, way back in the 50s, actually, that Prudential was probably and still one of the strongest insurance companies there is in the world. And they had a slogan, and theirs was based on the Rock of Gibraltar. And I don't know if you remember that. It had a big rock, and one of their little slogans was, "Get a piece of the rock," and that Prudential is as strong as the Rock of Gibraltar. And so that's something as we think about, you know, the strength that we stand on. And what that basically means is that you can depend on them, you can trust in them, that they're always there, that they're steady, and that you can rely upon their insurance in their in your life. But where that name comes from is not necessarily, where the slogan comes from is not necessarily from the rock itself. Just doing a little history on this, thinking about it, Patrick, that this really is based on the siege of the Rock of Gibraltar. Gibraltar is, of course, it's the strait between the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean, which divides Europe from Africa. And just past that opening is the Rock of Gibraltar, and it's a part of Spain, and it's 1 mile from Spain. But it's a British state, and it belongs to the British. And back in 1783, or I believe that's what it was, 1783, yes. Actually started in 1779, that the British was under assault from the Spanish in the French Navy. And they wanted to destroy the British Navy, which was the greatest navy at that time. And they felt like this was a good opportunity time to defeat their navy and to take this stronghold, this strong garrison that was there. As you know, Britain was also having another war going on at that same time, and the war of the state or the Revolutionary War actually ended in 1783, and they say that one of the reasons probably why we were so successful was because a lot of Britain's attention was turned to the Rock of Gibraltar and holding out that fort that they held out for 3.5 years, and they just would not give up, and so that's where that really comes from. It's the strength of that garrison that was there. While I was reading that one of the garrisons that was trained to come to the United States to fight against the colonists was sent there. And this was a firsthand report. If you read that history, it's a firsthand report of one of the people that was in the garrison that was there that wrote this and told about the story of the siege that was there and how hard it was and how they survived that siege. And it's still a British state today. And so that's where that comes from. And so when you think of something as the Rock of Gibraltar, and sometimes you hear people, Becky said she remembers people saying, you know, that he's as stubborn as the Rock of Gibraltar, you know. and you hear things like that. But also you hear a lot of times people say, you know, she's my rock, or he's my rock. You know, what do you mean by that? You know, it means that person, you can always depend upon them. You can always rely upon them, trust in them, that they're there for you no matter what. You can just know that they're there. They're my rock. And we all have that, don't we? We have, hopefully, that you have someone in your life that's a rock in your life. But most of all, we have God, don't we? God is our rock. And there's a lot of wonderful scriptures all through the Bible that deals with God as being our rock. And Psalms is full of it. But I'd like to just read a few scriptures this morning, mostly from the New Testament, but one from the book of Psalms, which is one of my favorite, Psalms 18:2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Isn't that beautiful? Let me just read that again and let that sink in this morning as you think of Jesus as being the rock of your life. It says, "The Lord is the rock of my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God and my strength." And actually that "my God, my strength" is really translated, "my God, my rock in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And then in 1 Corinthians, the apostle writes this. It says, as believers, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers in God's field. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let everyone take heed how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The Bible identifies Jesus as our rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that flowed followed them, and that rock was Christ." Paul was explaining to the people he was writing to about the journey of the Israelites going through the desert. And he says that they all drank from that spiritual drink, for that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is the solid rock. Amen. 1 Peter says, "Therefore, it's also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Do you hear that? When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you will never be disappointed. God's always there to hold us up. No matter how grave things sometimes can seem to be and how hard things sometimes can seem to be, God is always in control. He's always going to be the rock. Nothing can move him. He's eternal. He's constant. He's everlasting from everlasting. And you can trust in Jesus when everything else may be falling around about us. And this scriptures today really, really lends itself to this as we think about Jesus and building our lives on the rock. And so beginning there, verse 24, chapter 7, it says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so it was that when Jesus had ended the sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So I want to just put that in there, that Jesus taught and teaches one as authority. He has all authority, doesn't he? He has all power. He is the rock, and we can trust in him. And that's the whole point of really the scripture today, is that he's pointing out that he's the rock. He is the good news. The good news is about Jesus Christ. And he is the rock. He's the rock of ages. He's our solid rock. We can always trust and depend and rely upon Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Here, I just want to point this out. It's interesting as he brings this to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Really, this is an invitation. So y'all are hearing that? Jesus just got through preaching a wonderful sermon, the greatest sermon of all. And he preached a sermon on the good news, and that the good news has the power to transform our lives every day. And the Bible says that we're being transformed in His likeness every day. That each day as we walk with Jesus and trust in Him, that our lives is being transformed more and more and more into His likeness. And one day, we're going to see Him face to face, praise the Lord, and we're going to be just like Him. We won't have to worry about any of this stuff here anymore in this life. It's going to be a wonderful life for an eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, that solid rock. We can depend on Him. So this is an invitation. So hear this today as an invitation that Jesus is saying, come and put your faith and trust in Him, the good news, and allow that to have transformation in your life. So in other words, He says here in these scriptures, we'll get to this a little bit, that it's a difference between hearing and hearing and doing and hearing and not doing. Did y'all hear that? My mom always says, did you hear what I said? She didn't have to say that but once. I learned that the hard way. And I was listening up then. I heard what she said. I think I told this story one time before. I was always dragging my heels about getting up every morning. I lived upstairs and had an upstairs, and my mom was downstairs. And when she would say it's time to get up, it was time to get up. And I laid there one morning, and I woke up rudely from a pair of drumsticks that I had on my fireplace mantle in my room, and she played Wipeout on my head. And so I remembered from then on when she says, did you hear me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I heard you. So God has said, do you hear me? It's a difference between hearing and doing and hearing and not doing. This is an invitation. Again, it's not only an invitation, it's a warning. God is saying there's a warning in life. As He talks about that as we apply His word to our life or not apply the word to our life, it's a blessing, and He's telling us that we will be blessed and watch over and guarded if we heed to His warning and hear His word and apply the word. But it's a warning that if we hear His word and don't apply the word to our life, the consequences are very grave. And so it's not only an invitation, it's a warning to be alert as we walk through this life, to put our faith and our trust in Him. For we don't know what's out there tomorrow. We don't know what's beyond these doors. We don't know what's going to happen the next very moment. But God does, doesn't He? God does. I've heard of people just dying right in the sanctuary. I've heard of preachers preaching in the pulpit. And praise the Lord. If that's the case, I'm going to be with Him right now. Somebody else can finish the service this morning. But I've heard of preachers passed away in the pulpit. And so we don't never know what's going to take place from one moment to the next. But we know without a surety of doubt that we can trust in Jesus. That He's our rock. That we can depend on Him. So the good news is Jesus Christ. He is the good news. And He has the power to transform our lives. And so He's preached this word, and He said, now you need to hear this and let it have an effect on your life, and you follow this. Now, He's not preaching that you're saved by works, but He's preaching that when you are saved, when you're saved by His grace, faith alone in Him, by grace alone, that there's a transformation that takes place in our life. Because you see, when we are saved, a living Savior comes to dwell within us. He becomes that rock. He becomes that solid rock. And He gives us that strength every day that we need, the guidance that we need, and the surety that we need, that foundation of life that we need. No matter what we're facing in life, what choices that we have to make in life, we can make them standing on the promises of God's Word, that He is the rock, and we can trust in Him. And things may not turn out exactly the way we want it, but guess who's in charge? Guess who's in control? So we need to trust Him. Whatever the outcome is, we can always trust Him because He's the rock. We can depend on Him. We can trust in Him. So this morning I want us to look at some comparisons as we look at the scriptures of these two men. And then as we look at some comparisons, I want us to look at some contrasts that's in their life. And then the consequences that they both faced. And then the invitation. What are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the good news that God has given to you? You have to respond to that. You can hear it, and it may do no good for you. Or you can hear it, and it transforms your life, and it makes life full and meaningful and complete. when we trust in Him. So let's look at the comparisons as we look at this word. It says, therefore, and again, therefore, as the preacher says, it's therefore a reason. The point is back to all the things that he just got through preaching on, all the things he just got through sharing. He says, therefore, as you hear this word, as you hear the good news, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So the scripture says that both of these men heard the word. Even verse 26, it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. And so both men heard the word. Both men listened to the word of what Jesus was preaching. And theologians believe that what Jesus is preaching here, he's preaching on eternity. And the invitation is to come to receive life and eternal life in Him, that He is the rock. And so he's preaching that as we hear the Word of God and we receive the Word of God and we act upon the Word of God in our life, that one day that we're going to be with Him for an eternity. But if we just hear the Word of God and never receive the Word of God and never act upon the Word of God, my friend, there's a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. And great is that judgment that's going to come. And so we have to make a choice as we hear the word. Even as you hear the word this morning, you have the responsibility to respond to it, to respond positively or negatively. It's up to you that we have to make that choice. And so we see here the comparison that they both heard the word. They both heard the good news. And what is the good news? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3, he says that the good news that was given to him by Christ Jesus himself, that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried on the third. He was buried according to the scriptures, and on the third day he rose again according to God's word. And so that's the good news, that Christ died for you. He took the penalty of my sin, your sin, upon himself, and he transferred all that onto himself, and he transferred into our life, life eternal for him, and he took the eternal death upon himself and died for our sins on that cross. And he rose again on the third day. Amen? And so that's the good news. The good news is that Jesus came and gave his life and that he died and was buried and he rose again on the third day. And we can believe that. We can trust that. So both of these men heard the word. They both heard the gospel. And they both built houses. Both of these men had similar lives, maybe lifestyles or whatever. They both built houses. They both maybe perhaps used the same types of material and building their house. They both maybe build in the same location. The way it indicates there that one built on the rock, one built on sandy land, that might have been in this very same area. We know that sometimes, in Arizona and other places, during dry seasons, riverbeds dry up, creek beds dry up. But when the rains come, and they come, you know, annually like that, if you're in the middle of one of those streams that's dried up, you're going to be washed away. Because it comes very forcefully, doesn't it? And so I think this is sort of the picture that Jesus is having here, that where the riverbed has been or where the creek bed has been, it's sandy. It's a sandy spot. And below that is a hard rock. But he says they both built similar houses in a similar location. But also they both face storms. They both face storms. So if we hear the word and we don't receive it, we're going to face storms. If we hear the word and receive it, guess what? Folks, we're going to face storms, aren't we? We're all going to face storms in this life. As I was thinking about this message too, the horror of what the people have been going through in California this past week, week before last, as they're beginning to be inundated by all these storms that's coming off the Pacific and all the floods and all the things that's taking place there. And I was just washing people's cars and homes all down the street and the mudslides and so forth and so on. It's just devastating to see some of that, isn't it? And it's amazing that we've been in some of that here, that we've seen the power of storms and the effects that they could have in our lives and on our homes and our properties. And sometimes we're concerned when it's a tropical depression, aren't we? And so not just a hurricane, because we've seen the devastation of a tropical depression. We've seen devastation of just a number one hurricane type, not much less a 4 or 5, you know, what they could do, the damage that they could do. We can see that, you know, but they both face storms. And no matter who we are, We're all going to have storms. We're all going to have trials. We're all going to have temptations. We're all going to have those times when we're struggling in life through things. But guess what? We have a rock. We have a rock. We have a rock, and His name is Jesus. You can always trust in Him. So there's certainly some similarities between these two guys as they start out in this message, but also there's some big contrast in their lives. Some big contrast. And the number one is that one man built his house on the rock, and the other man built his house on sandy land. Again, the sandy land was easy to build. You could just maybe level that out pretty good and get you a good level spot to start building your house. And most of the people's houses in that day were built out of stone and maybe some stucco, white stucco on the outside over those stones and a thatch roof, you know, with some beams and thatch roof and really nothing else other than that. And most of them had just dirt floors that's within them. And so the one that built on sandy land, that was it. You know, he just laid out the sand, smoothed it out, and he put down the stone, did the whitewash, and he put the rafters in and the thatch on top of that, and that was the house. So did the other man. He did the same thing. But instead of just leveling out the sand, the scripture says that he dug down to the bedrock. He put more effort to it. He knew what he needed to do to be safe, that storms were coming. Storms were coming. You can depend on that. We know that without a doubt. As we live our lives, we know that storms are coming in our life. And as older we get, the more storms we're going to face. The more things we're going to see. The more difficult sometimes things will be. But we have a rock. We have a solid rock. And so we know there's a warning. Jesus says, it's coming. The rains are going to come. The floods are going to come, the winds are going to come, and they're going to beat upon your life and beat upon your house. And so what are you building your life on? The sand? And what is he talking about, the sand? I think he's thinking about, well, this is what I want to do. This is how I think it should be done. This is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what somebody told me to do. This is how you do it, someone says. But what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? It's not so much what we think, what we believe even, but what does the Word of God say? He's the rock, and we can depend on His Word, for it's rock solid. We can trust in Him always because He's the hard rock. He's the solid rock that we can stand on in our life. And so, again, building on the sandy land is building on your own opinions in life. Building on your own philosophy and what you think and what others may say, what others may teach. And that's the ruin of our nation today, isn't it? That's the ruin of our nation today. What once was wrong is right, and what was right is wrong nowadays. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. And more people are going to believe the lies instead of believing the truth of God's Word. God's Word is the rock, my friends. You can trust in it. You can depend on it. You can build your life. But He's telling you storms are going to come. So it's up to you. If you want to build on that sandy land or build on the rock, what's that? What's the rock? Again, it's the Scripture. Jesus says He is the Word. He's the living Word. And that we can trust in Him and trust in His Word, trust in those promises. We can stand on those promises as we sing that beautiful hymn each and every day of our life. Because we can trust Jesus for who He is. He is the eternal Lord God Almighty, our Lord and our Savior. And so we can trust Him. And so the contrast was one that built on the rock, the other one built on solid, sandy land. One man was wise, and one man was foolish. One man was wise, and one man was foolish. So I reckon it's up to us to decide, what are we today? Are you wise? Or are you foolish? It's being foolish when you go through life trusting in your own philosophies and in your own opinions and your own desires and leaving out completely the will of God in your life. God has a perfect will for your life, but you have to trust that. You have to depend on Him. You have to put your trust in Him and His Word and again, believe the promises that God has made to us in His Word. And so it's a wise thing. You're a wise person. You may not be and up with times of things that's going around you. You may not be in style or whatever it may be. But let me tell you, you're standing on the Word. And that's going to see you through. And all these other things, my friends, are going to be washed away with the floods of life and the times of life. It's going to be washed away. So there's a comparison and there's a contrast, but very importantly, there's a consequences. It says, one man withstood the test and the trials of life. His life was built on a rock. What does that mean? Well, when we're on the rock, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's an assurity that God's got this. Not so much, I got this, but God's got this, right? God's got this. We don't always have it. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to always say, I got this. But God does. And we're headed for trouble when we get our minds and thinking that, I got this. God, you can stand over here. I can do this. When I need you, I'll call on you. It don't work that way. We have to hear the Word. We have to receive the Word. And we have to obey the Word. God's got this if we put our faith and our trust in Him. And so what does it mean? It means that we can believe and trust in His unfailing love. He's that rock that we can just trust in every day. And again, know that peace that passes all understanding. Know the joy of the Lord in our life. No matter if we're going through that test and no matter if we're going through those trials, we can still know the joy of the Lord in our hearts and our lives because He's present and He's all powerful. He's almighty. And so that's a difference, isn't it? He makes that difference. His love is constant. His love is eternal. I thought about the little thing that we used to talk about when I was a kid, taking a flower and pulling the petals off of it and saying, she loves me not, she loves me not. And you can't wait till you get around to see if she loves you or loves you not, you know. Well, it's not that way with God, is it? Isn't that wonderful? God loves you, period. God loves you, period. That's it. And we can trust in that. We can trust in His love. But think about what that means, to trust in His Word and to trust in His promises. Think about what it means to know that one day when we stand before God in His judgment, that He's going to say, come, thy good and faithful servant, and inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? To know that one day we're going to stand before Him and we stand in His righteousness, and not ours. We stand in the salvation that He's provided for us. And we can trust in that for an eternity. But just think of what it means to be on sandy land, my friends. That we don't have that hope when you're on sandy land. You don't have a hope for today or a hope for tomorrow because you're not sure. You're not sure of anything. Because we see things fall all around us. We see others fall all around us. And we just don't know what we can put our faith and our trust in. One day they say it, do it this way. Another day they say it, do it that way. One day they say this is good for you. One day they say this is bad for you, you know. And all those good things. So who do you trust? And so when you're going through life and you don't have any kind of stability or rock to stand on, when you're going through those trials and those tribulations and you don't have anything to stand on, just think about how fearful that is. To think that, who can I trust in? Who can I depend on? Who can I know that will help me through this? There's only one. There's only one. And His name is Jesus. And so we see that it's a big thing here. So one man lost it all. One man gained it all. One man withstood the test and the trials. And the Bible says one man lost it all. Great was the fall of it. He lost everything. And we go through life trying to make a way through life and make a living for our life. And we think this is what life is all about. And we come to the end to find out, no, it wasn't. Life, my friends, is about Jesus. If we have Jesus, we have life, the Bible says. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life, the Scripture says. So when you have the Lord Jesus in your life, you have the rock, you have the life that He desires to give, and we have someone that with us to help us to face those trials and those tribulations that we go through in life. So just think the blessings this man missed in his life because he wasn't standing on the rock. You're robbing yourself of blessings that God has already given to you. You just have to receive them into your life. You have to receive them and receive the promises that he's made to you, and to know that those blessings are for you. You have to depend on that. Just think of the fellowship that he missed with the Lord Jesus in his life. I think about what build it on. The rock means that we have fellowship with Jesus every day. We walk with him every day. As I'm reading through the scriptures again this year, I do walk through the Bible. And it has a devotional thought with walking through the Bible. And it says, instead of just reading the Bible and just reading scriptures, you need to see this as you're taking a walk, you're taking a journey every day with Jesus and his word. He's not present with you just like he was with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he walked with them in the cool of the day, just like he was with Noah, like he was with Moses and other great patriarchs. God is with us. We walk with him. He walks with us. We can know him. We can put our faith and trust in him. But most importantly also, we see here that this man faced the judgment of God. He faced God's judgment because he had rejected the word of God. He heard the word, but he didn't receive the word. And he didn't follow through in obeying God in his life. And the consequences are grave. Great was the fall of it. So again, just listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that the sayings is the good news that you've already heard. Just through that scripture of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to God's word. Paul said, that's the gospel. If you believe Jesus and receive that, that's what he's done for you and accept him in your life, my friends, those are the people that hear his word and do them. He says, I will liken to him a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rains descend, you can believe that. The floods will come, you can believe that. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Friends, are you on the rock today? That's a choice. I mean, it's just a choice that we all have to make. What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on something that is solid like Jesus, the rock of ages? Or are you going to build life on what you think, what you want, leaving God's plan and leaving his will completely out your life and trusting in my old self? Self will let you down. Things will let you down. Others will let you down. But Jesus is the rock that will always hold you up. Will you choose today? This is an invitation. Will you choose today to build your life on the rock of ages? May we pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your word that you spoke with authority. For Lord, your word has authority and power in our life today because you are a living Savior. And that you're at the right hand of the Father, and your word is faithful and true, and your word has the power to give life to all that will call upon you and put their trust in you. Father, it's my prayer today that if there's one here that's never received the rock in their life, that's never chose to build their life on the rock and have chosen to build their life on their own self-will, that they will see today, Lord, your warning in your word to put their faith and their trust in you. For they will have storms and doubts and trials and tribulations and problems in life. But with you, Lord, we can be victorious. So I pray today that you'd help us to choose you, Lord Jesus, not only as our Lord and our Savior, but to choose you every day, to put you first, to choose your will over our will, and to put you first and build upon that rock, that one foundation that's a surety, which is you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts with authority and power today and draw us unto you to follow you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our invitation hymn this morning is, Have Thy Own Way, Lord. Have Thy Own Way. And as God speaks to you this morning, I pray that he has spoken to your heart. It's hymn number 544. We'll stand and sing. You come as God leads you. You can come to the altar, you can come and speak with me and pray with me, whatever you feel led. But it's God speaking to you today. Make that decision for him.